friends. Hello again. Hey, Lou, how are you?
Very good. How are you today?
Good, good. Thanks. So today we're not going to be talking about any particular chapter or verse from the Gita, Lou. We're going to be talking about the Atman and us as human beings, as people. And the reason for this is because I have a lot of people who've been questioning me to say, what exactly is the Atman? They have a misconception of the Atman. What is it? Who am I? And stuff like that. So I thought of saying, starting with maybe a story or two, which is always interesting, right?
Yes.
So Alexander from Greece, his teacher was Aristotle. Now, Alexander went all over the world. He conquered a lot of countries, did a lot of destruction, a lot of, you know, conquering.
When this he came to India, Alexander the Great?
Well,
or
I didn't call him the Great.
Okay.
People often don't refer to him as the Great anymore because of a lot of other things that he did, but it's Alexander, same Alexander.
All right. That's what I wanted to establish,
He started, went to his teacher, Aristotle, and that's a whole other story to see how Aristotle and his teachers were all learned from these scriptures in India. Yeah. And he asked Aristotle, you know, what can I bring you? And Aristotle said, look, you've given me enough gold, enough wealth, enough everything from your conquest. What I would really like is if you go to India and bring me back one of those self-realized human beings.
Ooh.
So they can teach me what I need to know.
Interesting.
So he says, easy. I'll just go. I'll bring you a dozen back. No problem. So Alexander goes to India, and in history it shows that he went quite a few times and he couldn't penetrate. He was pushed back from India quite a few times. But one time he succeeded. He went in, and he was in the north of India, and he had a camp there. And he sent his general, who was also his biographer, and his general's name was Onesicritus. I'm not saying that right, I'm sure. But Onesicritus wrote in his biography, and you can find this on the internet under Alexander and the Gymnosophists. A Gymnosophist is a self-realized person that was completely living off of nature with no wealth, no clothes, nothing, naked in the forest, just having been self-realized, living in bliss of self-realization and teaching other people. So Alexander asked around and said, where can I find these self-realized people? And they said, they're in the forest. They live there. And so he sent Onesicritus to go and find such a person. And they had actually large groups of such people. And they said, who's your teacher? Who's the biggest guy among you? And they said, we have a number of them. And one of them was called Dandi Swami. Dandi means a stick. Mm-hmm. Dandi is a stick. And Swami is, you know, Swami, Dandi Swami.
Right.
Dandi Swami got distorted in Greece, and they called it Dandamis, Dandamis. So this, on the internet, you can look up Alexander and Dandamis and the conversation between them. So Onesicritus went to Dandamis and with great respect said to him, look, my king offers you a lot of wealth, gold, silver, diamonds, whatever you want, if you would come with us and come back to his teacher, Aristotle. And he said, and if you don't, my king has told me to cut off your head.
Oh, okay.
And Dandamis didn't even get up from the bed of leaves on which he was lying, and with a laugh said to him, I have no use for your gold or silver. I would only worry about where to hide it, and it would buy me nothing because I have everything I want over here. I'm more happy than all the happiness in the world put together. And as far as cutting off my head, he says, my body is just a body. You cut off my head, I'll come back to life in another body. So this is the basic concept of the Atman and bodies that Dandamis basically said. And I could go on with this story, but I think the point that I'm trying to make is what Dandamis said, is that the body is just basically clothes. You say, I'm going to rip off your clothes. You say, go ahead. I'll just put on another set of clothes. You can't hurt me if you take off my clothes.
Right.
That we should go through life as if we're actors on a stage. An actor on a stage says, the producer, director tells him, you're bankrupt and you've got fatal disease. And by the end of this act, you're going to be dead. And then you're no longer going to be in this play. And the actor says, okay, I like that. Oh, I'm, you know, bankrupt, I'm crying. But really, he doesn't feel it because he knows that he's going to get a paycheck at the end of this play.
Yep.
He doesn't cry because he's got diagnosed with some horrible illness, because he knows that in reality, this is just an act for him. If we could, like Dandamis and like these actors, realize that on this earth, while we're living, this body is just going through this, whatever happens, nothing is going to affect us in perpetuity.
Right.
Right? All the money we make, we can't take it with us to the next life. All the disease that ruins us doesn't touch us once we go to the next life. That is the key part. But like I said in our last session, this is session 21. In last session 20, we talked about what people have asked, is to say, where does the Atman live within us? What does it look like? Is it like a wisp of smoke? Is it like a pool of water? Is it force? Same question can be asked about energy, about electricity.
Right.
You know, what does it look like? You know, when it comes through a bulb, it shines like a bulb, a white bulb, a blue bulb, a red bulb. Right. When it comes to a fan, the fan starts moving. Similarly, the Atman takes on the form that it chooses to take on. Now, we may say that we give it. We don't give it. The Atman actually chooses it based on what its vasanas are, what the person's vasanas are.
Right.
So you choose which family you're getting born to. You choose what vehicle, what your clothes are going to look like, what your body is going to be looking like. So you choose, the Atman chooses it, and based on a choice of man versus woman, you know, you come as that person. So now the Atman has taken that role. But in the Taittiriya Upanishad, there are many Upanishads. Last time we talked about Katha Upanishad.
Yes.
In the Taittiriya Upanishad, there's a verse that says, the knower of Brahman attains the highest. And the Upanishads are very succinct, very small, very short. They just say that. That's all you're supposed to know. Then you decide what that means. So what this knower of Brahman attains the highest means, it says you don't have to go anywhere. You have to just know. It's not a journey in space or to a place or time. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go on pilgrimages or go to churches. Right. Spiritual ignorance is to us who or what we are. That's it. We're ignorant of that. When you get that knowledge, you attain the highest. So the question is, where is the Atman? How do we get to know Atman or the Brahman? In the Upanishads, it says the Atman is hidden in the sacred space of the secret cave. So you say, whoa, I'm a doctor. I know anatomy. I'm going to look, where is the secret cave? Where is the sacred space?
Yeah.
So you say, okay, it has to be hidden in the body. And when you're looking for something, right, if I say to you, or you say to me, I want to go to such and such a place, and I say, oh, you just go to the post office, and if you go two blocks right from there, that's where it is.
Right.
You say, but I don't know where the post office is. Oh, do you know where the Bank of America is? I don't know where the Bank of America is. My question to you would be, well, what do you know?
Yep.
Right? Oh, I know the fire station. Okay, fine. You know the fire station. Okay, so you go to the fire station, you go from there. So you choose right. something you know. This, in the Upanishads, is known as the Arundhati Jnana. Arundhati is a star in the sky mm-hmm. that basically has a companion star. And throughout its entire life, the two stars just keep going around and around without changing their journey.
Right.
So when a bride gets married, it is told, the bride and the bridegroom are told to look at this Arundhati star. It's a very faint star, not a shiny star. So right. it's hard to find. So how did the old people say, look at that star? They said, look at that star. There's a million stars on the night sky in right. India. So they said, okay, you see that tree there? Yes. You see that lowest branch? You see where it's pointing? Yes. You see the star that's at the tip of that point? Yes. That's the Arundhati star.
Right.
So you use a known point to get to an unknown point. So similarly, what the Upanishads say is that you start with something you know. And the Upanishads say the lion looking for the lion, looking for the Atman, is like looking for a lion in the deep, dark forests of philosophy. So it starts with the body.
Yes.
It says the body everybody knows. It's known as Annamaya. Anna means food. Annamaya is the body. And it says it's pervaded by food and says, okay, Annamaya. So you say, oh, my body is the Atman. That's really where the Atman is. Are you the body? You, the seeker? Me, I'm the body. I am the body. Well, the body changes. When you were born, you were just a little baby.
Right.
Then you became bigger. Then you become a young man. Then you become an old man. Then you become a man with no hair and gray hair and wrinkles and all kinds of things. And the body has changed. So are you really the body? Because you, as I, keep saying I'm the same.
Right.
You can't be the body for that reason. And there's a lot of other reasons that the Upanishads gives that says you are not the body. Because you can be the knower, and you have to know something that is the subject and the object.
Right.
The knower and the known. In this case, you know of the body. So who knows about the body? I know of the body. So you, the body, can't be I. Has to be different.
Okay.
So we always think of ourselves as conscious. The body is inert. The body is not conscious. It's insentient. We are aware. We know what it is. So the body can't be the Atman. So you say, well, the Atman cannot be the body for that reason. So what's the next step? The next step is you are real you is different from the Annamaya. And now we got up to the post office, which you knew. Now we say, okay, so it's not the body. All right, what is it? Well, what enlivens the body is known as prana. So the next level that the Upanishads say, well, prana maya, the maya, which is prana. What is prana? Prana is what pervades this body, mm-hmm. gives us life. Prana maya, control of the life forces, breathing, thinking, the mind, emotions, all of that comes from the life force. He said, oh, that's the Atman. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You are aware of the prana.
Right.
So you are different from the prana. You can't be the prana again. You can't know it. I say, I know the prana. So you go deeper. Upanishad say, look more subtly than that. So the third one it says is your mind. Must be your mind, because that's where all the memories are, the thoughts, our personality, likes, dislikes, right. My feelings, my memories. It's called the manomaya. And you say, nah, when I'm happy, I know I'm happy.
Yep.
When I'm unhappy, I know I'm unhappy. When I have desires, I know I have desires. So we experience our own ideas, we experience our emotions. I can't be the mind. Thoughts, memories, everything we experience. So you say, look deeper, the Upanishad says. Look at the vijnana maya, jnana maya, which is the buddhi, the intellect. It understands, the intellect understands. It's the agent. I am the mind. I certainly can't be the intellect if I think I know that I'm the mind.
Right.
So I understand. I don't understand, which means, again, I understand.
Right.
I don't understand. So I can't be the intellect. So I know certain things. I've forgotten certain things, but I'm still here. I'm old now. I've forgotten a lot of things. I'm still here. So I can't be the Atman. In deep sleep, when we're not dreaming, we're not awake. We're still aware of different things. We wake up, we say, oh my God, I was so fast asleep. I didn't know anything, but I was still alive. I was still around. So that is known as Anandamaya, which is the bliss sheath, which is so totally five sheets. And in dreamless sleep, there's no intellect, no mind, no body.
Right.
You don't even move. So that's the sheath of bliss. But again, that's not the Atman. So there is the Upanishads, a story of 10 people, 10 young students of the Upanishads crossing a river. And in that, they say, okay, listen, this river has got a huge torrent. It's flowing fast. We don't want to die, okay? How many of us are there? There's 10 of us. Okay, fine, let's cross the river. So they, with great difficulty, could come back to the other side. And this guy gets up. He says, okay, I'm going to start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He says, oh, only 9. Mm-hmm. Oh, one person died. And they all start crying. A man is walking by, and he says, what happened? He says, well, there were 10 of us started. We all counted. Each one of us counted. We only counted 9. And he said, that's because you didn't count yourself.
No.
If you count yourself, then yep. you become 10. You're counting everybody else. Which brings up the important thing. We talk about the Atman saying, it's us that's doing the counting.
Right.
We are the ones that are saying, oh, it's the body, it's the mind, it's the intellect, it's the prana, it's the bliss sheet. But who's doing all this? It's I, the Atman, that's doing it.
Right.
It's using the body and the vocal cords and the tongue to talk about it, but it's I who's doing that. So in the Kena Upanishads, it talks about these 5 sheets. We are the experiencer where we look for Brahman or God. It's not an object. It's not an object because it's us that's doing it. Mm-hmm. The field of knowledge is divided into the known and the unknown. So you're saying, I'm the known, I'm looking for the unknown. No, you, the Atman, is the knower. You're not the known, you're not the unknown, you're the knower.
Right.
And to make that, in my mind, it really crystallized when I saw the example of sugar and water and sugar and milk. You take sugar and you mix it in milk, and now the milk is sweet. You drink it, you say, oh, this is sweet.
Right.
Okay, but what made it sweet? The sugar. Where's the sugar? You can't see the sugar in the
right.
milk. You can't
yep.
see the sugar in the water. So our Atman gives the body, the prana, the bliss sheet, everything, its nature. Without the Atman, it's not there. It's a difficult concept for most people
yep.
to understand. But if you try and understand this, it'll make it crystal clear. A wave in an ocean, you say, what's in the wave? It's seawater.
Right.
Okay, if you could take that whole wave out and put it in the lab, you say, okay, I'm dissecting it to say, let me take the wave apart, and it's just water if
right.
you do that.
Yep.
You say, well, what happened to the wave? The wave and the water are the same. You can't separate it out.
Right.
That's a very important concept to get across. The wave and the water are the same. The water, sugar water, the sugar and the water are the same. If you try to separate it out, at least as far as maybe with a sugar and water and sugar and milk, you can by evaporating, etc. It's hard, but you cannot do it with a wave and seawater, and you cannot do it with the Atman, because the Atman is us.
Right.
The Atman presents as our body, as our prana, and you cannot separate. It's all consciousness. It's like taking a table and saying, which is the wood and which is the table?
Right.
I want to separate the table and the wood. The wood is the table, so you can't separate it up. Have I confused everybody too much, Lou?
No, it's just what I'm thinking of is in my workings in other modalities with this is it's called the observer position. And you say, I'm fearful or I'm angry. Who's observing that you're fearful or angry? That's where you're trying to get. You're trying to get to that place. You know,
yeah.
that's not you. Your anger isn't you. You aren't angry. You're observing that you're feeling anger.
Yeah, and that's why in Sanskrit, it's the Atman is called the Sakshi. Sakshi means witness.
Yes.
It says
yeah.
you are, like you said, observer. In Sanskrit, it says witness.
Right.
Witnessing everything that's going on with this being's life right now, but being totally separate
yeah.
and being a witness.
You aren't your thoughts. You aren't your emotions. They are happening to you, and you're observing them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are the Atman.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you all for joining. Lou, if you could tell them about Facebook and putting their questions on there and podcasts and so on, that would be great.
Yes. Whether you're watching us on Facebook, you can leave comments on Facebook as well. That's the best way to get to the doctor and get some responses and talk about these issues on Facebook. The Gita, Memoirs of a Psychiatrist, that's where you find the Facebook page. If you're on the Facebook page and you want podcasts for the drive, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, almost anywhere you get podcasts, you can find us. Gita, Memoirs of a Psychiatrist. So find us there, listen to us on the audio-only podcast, comment here on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yep, thank you.